Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Paul J. Gorell is Managing Director of the Human Capital Consulting Practice at Partners in Human Resources International. The website is wemaketalentwork.com. And John Hoover is former executive with the Walt Disney Company and McGraw-Hill. He works for Partners International, and he's on the AMA faculty. Gentlemen, welcome to Edgewise.
Hi, Dave. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Happy to have you here. Now, you've got a new book out. It's called The Coaching Connection, published by Amicom, a division of the American Management Association. And in this book, you show managers how they can use contextual coaching to promote individual as well as organizational growth. What is the coaching process that needs to take place within an organization?
The most common answer to that is executive coaching. That gets the most interest and conversation because coaches often deal with people at high levels, high profile, visible people whose performance and behavior has significant impact on organizational performance. What interested us at Partners International, and this, of course, is based on some research that Paul conducted, was marrying the interest of the organizational strategy as it's represented by the organization right along with simultaneously a coaching engagement with an individual, usually at the executive level. In the past, when someone has considered a coaching engagement, they've considered working in isolation with an executive.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
Darkened room.
And what they were forgetting was the voiceless co-client, which is the organization itself. The organization is sponsoring this coaching engagement. The organization is paying for this coaching engagement. And obviously, the success of the executive or the individual being coached is going to be determined in the context of the organization and its overall goals, its overall strategies, and desired outcomes. So those two can't be dealt with in isolation. They need to be considered at the same time as the coaching process progresses. And so the outcomes will be measured both in the individual's growth and development and in how that contributes to the organization's strategy.
Right.
When folks look at the bills that come in from an executive coach, they ask the question, what is the company getting from this?
Right.
In every coaching engagement, there are two clients. There is the organization and the individual. And we found that from this study we did.
So could you expand on that, please?
I came into the firm and I was going to manage the coaching practice. The company had really built this reputation as being the matchmaker company, the company that really knew how to pick the right coach for the individual. So that was my job. Now I said, well, how am I going to do that? Let me study my coaches from a competency perspective. And I took the data as I started to collect it in an aggregate form. And it said some things to me. It said, the biggest reason we do well when we have a coach in at a client is because there is an alignment between what the individual is expecting and what the company that brings us in is expecting. We need to create that alignment. So what we did was we said, look at the individual in terms of the context around them. And the context is made up of multiple elements.
Yeah.
How the company has a business strategy, how they organize themselves structurally, what their culture is like. Bring all those elements into the engagement so that you can make sure the coaching highlights those things and focuses on those things from a results perspective. And that makes the coaching process different. It makes it not behind closed doors, and it makes the organization inside the room with them as they're doing the work of the coaching process.
Okay. Now, that's at the high level, and that's the coaching that we're familiar with. But according to your book, coaching can actually percolate through and permeate a company. Can you talk to us a little bit about what just a manager can do to coach an employee? What are your thoughts on that?
Typically, in companies, managers coach to improve performance. There is a performance issue of one type or another, so they attempt to help fix those issues and focus on those issues. And by the way, you're really lucky if your manager is a good coach for performance. But what managers often aren't as effective at is coaching people around their long-term development and their career aspirations. So what we try to do is basically take the process that an executive coach uses in an organizational model that we have and teach managers how to use that in their day-to-day work and not see coaching as something I do when there's a problem only or as something that's a nice to have, but actually that's core to my role.
Sure.
If I develop the employee around these organizational elements, then I'm going to have a more effective employee, a more engaged employee, and I'm actually going to benefit the organization by getting an individual ready for whatever the next steps might be, keeping them in the company instead of having them look externally.
Exactly.
And managers are used to managing. They're used to engaging employees at a certain level in a certain way.
That's definitely true.
To be more present with them and to engage in actually the craft of coaching is something that's not commonly in a manager's skill set. So the contextual coaching model that Paul referred to gives them actually a framework in which not only to engage the employees, their direct reports for the most part, in their career growth and their career development, but across a balanced spectrum of issues they should be aware of. Mm-hmm. People who are coming up in the organization need to be increasingly aware of the talent management issues. How do you measure talent? How do you measure performance? And that's a dialogue, frankly, that managers should have been having with their people all along. Those are just two components of the 10 components in the contextual coaching model.
Right.
And then what are the talent solutions? What can we do? What does our learning organization offer? What can we call upon American Management Association to contribute to us? We can call for a consultant to come in from Partners in Human Resources International if we have a gap. And that's the whole goal in the coaching engagement on the managerial level. Mm-hmm. Not only engage the employee in a more meaningful way that's more focused on their development, but it's focused on their development in a balanced fashion that serves so that they become increasingly conscious of what the organization's agenda is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We all learned a long time ago the best way to become proficient and master something is to teach it. So as the manager coaches and has a model and a framework within to coach, the more they learn about the organization and the organization in its totality and what it needs and what its desired outcomes are, and they cascade that right through the organization. So the major investment at higher levels in coaching, if it's in an organizational context, now can cascade throughout the organization. And coaching becomes an enterprise-wide, organized initiative that serves a broader purpose to get a much greater return on the coaching investment.
There's one other thing I think is important from an innovation perspective with leadership development.
Okay.
When a coach works with a leader, they should work with that leader in the context of their team. What we often do in companies too often is take leaders and put them in a program away, or we send them to executive MBA or something. While those programs assist and enable, AMA is a good example, mm-hmm. and provide really good experiential learning. If we develop that leader with their team, that can enable that cascading process to go much more powerfully through the organization.
Right.
The model often is called action learning, which I know AMA has books published on.
Right.
And if you can use action learning with that intact team, focused on that leadership development of the core leader, you're going to see the leadership increase in all members of that team.
And of course, the action learning model Paul is referring to has that coaching component right along with it. So suddenly, the learning of the team and the managers and the executives becomes a real-time exercise, and the coach becomes involved in that real-time exercise.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, in all the managers and leaders you've touched over the past couple of years, do you find that a good manager can naturally evolve into a coach? What are your observations?
It takes a different set of natural inclinations to be a coach, and the craft of coaching is quite different.
So a person could be a good manager, but not necessarily automatically a good coach.
That's right.
Someone asked me recently a similar question. They said, can anyone be a coach?
Uh-huh.
And I said, lots of people think they can do anything. Have you been to a karaoke bar? Not everybody really has the capability to become a great coach, but every manager has responsibility to do coaching.
Right.
Part of their process in learning about coaching is to be able to do their own needs analysis, their own assessment. Where am I good at this and where am I not good at this? And if they're getting coaching, by the way, they're experiencing coaching from either an executive coach externally or for someone inside, like their own manager, that will help them with that assessment mm-hmm. because they've seen someone do it. They've had the experience of it.
Sure.
But the first sign of mm-hmm. a good coach is emotional intelligence. And the first step in emotional intelligence is self-awareness.
Hmm. This is just an observation. What I'll call the soft side of it can intimidate some managers about it's not just the numbers on the spreadsheet. It's not just the people on the assembly line and the analysis that's being conducted or the R&D that we're doing, but it's real people with real emotions and real needs.
And that's outside of their comfort zone for the most part. They weren't promoted into the position of management because they engaged people so well.
Right.
Generally, it's because they were extremely proficient and good at doing the thing mechanically
exactly.
that they're doing. But all that aside, any manager
sure.
can learn good coaching skills. They can go through the process. And we certainly would encourage helping managers learn good coaching skills and how to engage in a more effective and meaningful way
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Part of the skill set now has expanded to not only engage the individual with good coaching skills that can be learned, whether you have natural inclination to that or not, but to do it in the framework and the context of the organization. So you're going to have deliberate, methodical, almost systematic conversations about culture. We need to talk about this culture, this environment that we're operating in. How much do we affect it and how much does it affect us? And that affects our relationship, manager and the report. And you can go right down the list of the five dyads, the 10 elements of the contextual coaching model. And you can see those are all important conversations to have, not all equally, because they're not all issues that are going to be as vital and critical to that individual's role or that relationship between that manager and that employee.
There's many studies of why people leave a company voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Most of the data indicates that it's because of the boss.
Oh, yeah. You don't leave a job, you leave a boss.
So the idea of being a good manager and being a good people developer needs to be seen as an absolute in the process of being a manager.
Right.
And that's what I don't think we always do in companies. We don't really help managers see that people development is one of their core competencies.
And so don't you think it's not done because it hasn't been quantified, because there hasn't been a methodology? The word coach is floating out there. And when you sit people down and you actually tell them, okay, you have to coach Benny, you have to coach Jane, they shrug and they go, what does that mean? How do I do that? So without a process, without some type of rigor, without some type of metric system, what are they left with?
Right. And if you go to wemaketalentwork.com, for example, or in the book,
right,
there are specific behaviors, 360 questions. A lot of the lexicon, a lot of the questions, and a lot of the conversation around behaviors.
Uh-huh.
And Paul created another great model of underused behaviors, optimally used behaviors, and overused behaviors. It's that story about strengths not necessarily being the greatest thing in the world.
Right, exactly.
I have some debate with some of our colleagues in this industry in that I think we've put stress on finding our strengths. But often when we have people call us and say, we need a coach, 9 times out of 10, it's because the leaders are overusing their strengths. They're not engaging other individuals.
There's the lack of balance.
Right. The overuse of the things that we're good at.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right.
Often what got you the job as a leader is that you were good at something.
Right.
And now you have to figure out what's the new role and what are the new responsibilities and key result areas in that role. And it's usually about your people.
Sure.
It requires a different set of skills than the other stuff you were doing before.
Of course. The word mentor is floating around quite a bit right now. I need a mentor. I got to find a mentor. We have a mentoring program. And I'm just interested in your perspectives, comparing what the current role or definition of a mentor is with what you guys are talking about from a coach standpoint. Can you talk about that?
Well, coaching engagement is structured. It has a deliberate purpose. This is developmental.
Mm-hmm.
This is addressing a specific issue, perhaps, or a range of issues. If it's a manager and an employee relationship, it's more of a longer protracted engagement, but still there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's progress to be measured, metrics are set forth up front, and then there's closure as you develop an action plan and work to that plan and succeed or don't succeed on the plan, and that informs what your future choices of coaching are. Mentors just generally work in a less structured environment as a support, as a sounding board, as a thought partner.
Right.
It can be a very valuable function, but it doesn't have the more deliberate structure and designated outcomes that a coaching engagement would have.
Mm-hmm. Some companies do have formal programs. It's typically for an individual if they're coming into the organization new, or if they got promoted to another role or a different division, and so they tell them how to succeed in that organization.
Right.
When they founded the Disney University, Mike Vance was the first dean. When he came into the company, he was surprised that he was assigned a mentor for 1 year. Walt, in those days, made a person work with a mentor for a minimum of 1 year because culture was everything.
Of course.
And when they were opening up the park in Florida, Walt, who died 6 years before they opened the doors, knew even in the early developmental stages of Walt Disney World that suddenly they were going to have to employ 5,000 people who they didn't have time to assign to a mentorship and give them a year to learn the Disney culture, they were going to have to learn the Disney culture quickly. And that's why they organized the Disney University,
sure,
because they needed mentoring in a box and in a hurry.
Well, the name of the book is The Coaching Connection, and the two authors, Paul Gorell and John Hoover, have been our guests today. Gentlemen, it was great to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Dave, thank you.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.